kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Who's coughing? Who coughed? Own up to it. Who coughed?
Well, it's me.
Was it Aki?
I didn't even see the thing.
No comments?
God damn you, Aki. God damn you, Aki. So yeah, Aki's here. Jacob's here. Chris Huber's here. Because it is a special occasion. It is the 8th anniversary, the 8th birthday of the SML podcast. We have been doing this for 8 fucking years.
No. You've been doing this.
Hey, you're here, Chris.
I have been the ghost of SML past that every once in a while just... just squanders his way into an episode.
You need to get you a little set of chains to rattle whenever you're being announced.
Yeah, all right, I can make that happen. I have those.
Chris Huber's here.
Not asking questions.
So many comments. Oh, no.
So how's everybody doing?
Tired.
What the hell are you tired for?
Because I didn't sleep much last night. I was playing review games.
Yeah, we're also old farts at this point. I mean, like, come on. It's 8 years of this shit.
Yeah.
What is sleep?
I will never be old. You can go to hell.
No, you're going to be old.
Nope. Not going to happen.
You're going to be old and dilapidated.
Well, it's I'm already dilapidated.
This eighth anniversary... is appropriate for about what time I go to bed every morning now. So just stay up until like 8 o'clock in the morning and then fall asleep and then wake back up at 11.
God, I've been doing
my
like
problem
that.
Is that I've been staying up till 5, but then I go to bed and D knows what time it is because the rooster starts crowing.
Right. So that's when you know you're already past
5 a.m. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll get in bed, I'll be like, ninja'd it, right? And then that motherfucker starts crowing, and then he's like, it's 5 a.m. And I'm like, fuck. That bitch is about to find himself in a stew pot. He's snitching on me.
Snitches get stitches.
Snitches get soup.
And get soup is. Soupses.
They become chicken stew.
Snitches get tenderized.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Jacob, how are you doing? You're not saying much yet.
I'm okay, I guess.
That's it? Just okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, did the whole part about me fucking breaking a wine cork get in into the audio?
Nope.
Okay,
no.
Yeah.
Now you can tell everybody about why you're woefully depressed, other than because you're here.
Well, no. I mean,
hey!
I've got a mason jar full of wine at this, or sangria at this point, to be more specific. But yeah, like I woke up 10 minutes before this show, and like I ran downstairs to like get something to drink. And so like I'm trying to open up a bottle of wine, and I've never been good with corkscrews for whatever reason. I just haven't. And so like
yes,
I'm trying.
Confirmed.
What?
What'd keep going. Keep going.
Whatever. Anyway.
No, so, I didn't hear what you said, Cole. So.
No, I said Jacob can't. Screw confirmed because he said he wasn't good with the corkscrew, but then nobody heard me say it, so it doesn't fucking matter now.
You have to use your show voice.
I heard it. It just wasn't that funny.
It was funny. Nobody
especially,
thinks you're funny.
Especially since I got 2 kids. So I mean, like, yeah,
that can happen without you.
That's fair. We do have a turkey baster.
You were not necessary in that equation.
that actually, I mean, you are not necessary fills into like a lot of parts of my life right now. So yeah. But yeah, so anyway, so it's like I get, so like I'm there rushing, trying to like open up this bottle of sangria, and like somehow like the fucking cork just rips itself like right in the fucking middle, and I'm stuck with half the damn cork inside the bottle, and I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And meanwhile, my wife is like, oh, I need you to write this thing down. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding? Like, I'm trying to get this goddamn cork out of the bottle. And it just, yeah.
Well, what did she need you to write down?
I don't know. Like, she's in some sort of online meeting right now, and she didn't have access to a pencil and paper, so I had to use voice recognition, like speech to text. And so I had to, she asked me to
That's
write down.
That's our society now. I don't have a pencil and paper. Just fucking use voice to text.
All right, hold on. She wanted me to write down Shadow Network, which I don't know what that has to do anything with that. But instead,
that sounds classified.
What does she do for work?
she's a
drug dealer. No.
She's a librarian. But yeah. So anyway, so voice to text thought I said. Okay. Sharon at work. However, like I caught that as it was doing it. So the whole entire message is Sharon at work. Jesus fuck, Shadow Network.
I mean, it got there. Like the note is there. You have reference to what you need.
I mean, I had to say it twice, but yeah, it did get it eventually.
Eventually.
It actually put Jesus fuck, because when I tried doing voice to text, it usually censors the profanities.
I think I've sworn enough at my iPhone, it knows better.
I couldn't even get Siri to say the word bullshit.
Well, that's some bullshit.
I know. I was like, Siri, play the song Bullshit by Rise Against, and she's like, now playing Beep by Rise Against. I'm like, no. Hey, Siri, what song is this? He's like, this song is Beep by Rise Against. I'm like, you little bitch. I'm going to cut
That's
you.
That's weird. I wonder if there's something in the settings.
Maybe it's just how the song is tagged. I don't know.
Maybe.
So, yeah. How's everyone doing? 8th birthday. We're back at this shit. Siri's going off on my phone because I was talking to her. Turn that off. Should we talk about news? There was so much news this week.
I'm always curious of the news.
So am I.
It's my favorite.
Jacob, I know you're excited about this news. The big news of the week, Embracer Group is on a buying spree. Mm-hmm. They picked up three more companies, mobile developer EasyBrain, which whatever, Asper Media, which was kind of shocking. And
Wait,
then,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Asper Media just did the Star Wars Episode One Racer re-release.
Mm-hmm. They got something else coming that we'll talk about soon, but the big group that they merged with, Gearbox Entertainment.
That is the only one of the three I had seen, so I was surprised by that. And then you're like, by the way, here's the other ones, and I'm like, what?
Yep.
Well, Gearbox is the only one that made the headlines. Everyone else is, by the way, these two also got bought.
Yeah.
I can't say that I'm familiar with the other two.
I tend to follow Joe calls him Aspyr. I call him Aspyr.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Aspyr. I tend to follow them because they were the ones that published Layers of Fear.
Mm.
They published Bloober Team before Microsoft started throwing money at them. So.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff. What did they do? They did, Jacob, you mentioned Star Wars. They worked on that. I think Civilization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else. Layers of Fear. I think they did some work on the Borderlands. I'm looking at their website. They did some work on the Borderlands series. So it kind of makes sense. All of this coming together sort of makes sense.
But, yeah.
Another game that Aspyr is working on, I'll call them Aspyr from now on because Cole made it make sense. Thought it was Aspyr. I didn't know. So yeah,
we could both be wrong. Who the fuck knows? But it strikes me as it would be Aspyr.
Yeah, it makes sense. It does. So yeah, they are going to be publishing a game in March that True Achievements kind of spilled the beans on. Stubbs the Zombie is coming back.
I never played it. Yeah. I think it's one of those like games where it's just like, you know, if you played it, like, you're psyched about it. Otherwise, it just went by on everyone's radar.
I guess so. It's a like a third person zombie action puzzle thing with an insane soundtrack, and it was built on the Halo engine.
That's kind of funny. Very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a project by some former Bungie workers, and they licensed the Halo engine to release the game. And like, there's some of the UI looks similar, and you can tell it runs on the Halo engine. But that game is going to be coming back to Xbox One and Series X and S March 16th. No word on other platforms, but I kind of don't think it would, given it runs on the Halo engine. But I don't know how that would work with licensing. Because as other news this week has proven, anything can happen when it comes to games releasing on platforms. It is official. MLB The Show is releasing on PS4, PS5. Xbox One and Series X.
That shit actually blew my mind. I thought I looked like I saw the trailer in my YouTube like suggested videos, and I'm like, no, that's not right.
Yeah. Like, MLB The Show is releasing on Xbox. No Switch. So Nintendo gamers are going to be bummed at least for another year. Maybe next year they'll release a Switch version. There will be no cross-generational purchase. So if you purchase PS4, you don't get it on PS5 as well. Same with Xbox One and Series X and S. But there will be cross-play. The only way to get that dual entitlement is to buy the Jackie Robinson edition.
Oh, fuck them with their editions and versions and blah.
Yeah, it's. I think it's $84.99. Comes with the game, a bunch of digital crap. You get it on for PlayStation, you get a PS4 disc and a code for PS5. And on Xbox, apparently, you just get a dual entitlement disc, both versions on the disc.
Interesting. So, yeah. I mean, licensing alone, that's really exciting.
PlayStation is releasing a game on Xbox. It is happening.
Well, I mean, it got announced a couple of years ago that it was going to have to happen.
Yeah.
But I forget what exactly the reason is. I'm not sure if MLB is...
It's been a while.
I'm pretty sure MLB forced their hand. It's like, if you want to keep the license for the show, you're going multi-platform. Sony's like, okay.
Well, right, but I think what it is I'm not sure if there's actually going to be an MLB... what was it called? RBI?
RBI Baseball.
I'm not sure if there's going to be an RBI Baseball this year.
There is.
They're yes. still making it.
Yes.
Jeez.
They're very different games. Like, very
They're
different
very
games.
Different.
Well, yeah. But, like, I from what I was under the impression that RBI was getting out, like, or MLB was getting out of it.
Maybe I know this is the last year for RBI. You never know.
Well, because that's what I thought last year was, because last year was very subdued. Like, they pretty much just, like,
it was let like it out a the port. Game. Yeah.
Yeah, they pretty, like, I mean, we didn't even get a review copy last year, and they just kind of released it without, like, any kind of fanfare or whatever. And it's just, the RBI games, like, I'll be honest, I don't want to pay anything more than $5 for it, because like the only sure. thing I liked of the only
well,
thing I liked about
a cheap
it was
bitch, so.
No, it's the only enjoyable part about it was the home run derby. Like, I thought the actual gameplay for like playing a straight up game sucked. Every single year that I had to play it for this show, it was just like, yeah, play for the home run derby. Everything else you can like go get fucked on. So I honestly thought that last year was going to be it once they announced that the show was going to be multi-platform eventually. So I don't know. I mean, I'm really stoked about the show being multi-platform. I'm also a little bit surprised that they made the Jackie Robinson they made him the cover for the collector's editions. And just pretty much what, like, I'm really curious what that means for if they're like bringing in like older teams and stuff like that, like classic teams, like from the 50s and 40s and stuff like that. Like,
the show's normally pretty good with that stuff, aren't they?
I don't know. I've never played it.
Oh my god! I mean, like, the last one that I played was, holy shit, Oh man, I don't know. It's been years. I'm trying to remember.
They gave away one of them with PlayStation Plus. I want to say it was 19. I haven't played it though because I don't really play on PlayStation. But I'm planning on picking this up on Xbox. I'm going to support this. I think it's a cool decision. Yeah. The fact that they're making it multi-platform, I'm going to support it. I'm going to pick up I might even get the collector's edition that comes with the hat. Because it's only $15 more to get the hat.
I mean, it's like apparently I clicked on the wrong link for this because I'm up on the MLB website for it. But it's just they're just showing off the steelbook cover, which I mean, like it looks nice. But the only other thing that they mention is that the sale of every single collector's edition they'll donate $1 to the Jackie Robinson Foundation. And I'm just like, I mean, that's cool. But at the same time, it's not why I'd be buying a collector's edition. I mean, that's like I could donate $15 instead of that. You know what I mean? To pay the extra.
No. Well, are you still going to pick it up?
Probably. I don't know. Wait a second.
This will be the third game that I add into the rotation of the things that I launch my Xbox for. For real, because like, dude, I haven't had a legitimately good baseball game since I own my PlayStation. Like when I had my PS3. Like,
hey, the Super Mega Baseball games are awesome.
But it's not like they're good, but
they're not Sim. I know.
Right. I mean, like it's like I played a lot of baseball when I was younger. Like I played a lot of baseball games. Like I miss being like even like dude, the Ken Griffey games were good. Even like dude, MLB Hits was fucking sweet. Like I've gone through like a decent amount of them, but like nothing touches the show, man. Like show just gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually three editions of this thing. There's a there's a standard edition, which of course, I mean, varies on like what platform. There's a Jackie Robinson edition, and then there's the Jackie Robinson Deluxe edition.
Yeah, with the hat.
Right, I know, but you can get the Jackie Robinson edition without the hat, which is $15 less.
It's $15 more for the hat, so why not?
I
said that before.
I took that as like it's $15 more than the standard edition. Like,
no, standard edition is $60 for last gen, right. $70 for current gen, new gen,
right?
$85 for the Jackie Robinson edition, and $100 for the deluxe Robinson edition.
Okay, I didn't hear you say that part.
Well, I mean, even a licensed MLB hat is what, $30?
Something like that.
Yeah, and it's a new era cap too. So.
Yep, new eras are about $32.
Yeah, it's good quality. And
You get a digital new era hat for the game, I guess.
How does that work? Good
idea. A code, and you just wear a hat in the game, a special hat.
All the time. Yeah.
I don't know. Some other news. A lot of Game Pass editions are coming. It's always fun to talk about Game Pass. Just today, we had The Falconeer join.
Nice.
Project Winter joined.
Nice.
And Ghost of a Tale joined PC.
I'm excited about that. I wanted to play Ghost of a Tale, and I hadn't. And now I have a PC. I can play it on PC.
I'm glad they finally added Control onto the PC version.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to play it on PC. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. But I'd like to play it on PC because I originally played Control on the 1S, and it ran like utter dog shit.
I mean, Tim's got a pretty like ridiculous rig, and I like watched him play it, and he had it like maxed out and cranked out, and he was still only getting like fucking like 60 frames or something.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how it performs on the Series X. I have that downloaded.
I would assume it's got to be better than what it was when I played on the 1S. Like, when I played on the 1S, there were legitimately scenes I didn't realize were fucked up until I saw videos comparing all the different platforms. And then I was like, oh, so I basically didn't even play the same game because mine was so borked. So I really want to play it and, like, actually see what I was supposed to see. Maybe I'll like it a little better because I was pretty pissed.
Maybe. February 11th, a couple more games are going to be joining. Wolfenstein Youngblood is going to be joining the Android lineup. Stealth Inc. 2 is joining console and Android, Jurassic World Evolution console and Android, and Final Fantasy 12 console and PC.
Nice.
Final Fantasy 12 is awesome, so give that one a go.
I will say, if you like any kind of management game, and you like dinosaurs in any capacity, fucking play Jurassic Park Evolution, Jurassic World Evolution. It is so underrated, but it is so good. It is so well done. Like, you get to fucking fight the dinosaurs if you want to. And then they earn prestige and they make you more money. And like, sometimes the whole point of breeding them is just to go let them tear shit up. It's so good. Like, what if Zoo Tycoon was just like, hey,
you could release the lions on everybody.
You want to let the lions out?
Yeah.
And you could just be like, yeah, I do. And it would never happen because it's like, that will hurt your park rating. And Jurassic World Evolution's like, yo, you want to let the T-Rex out to eat on some people? And I'm like, uh-huh. Can we make the big dinosaur that goes away and like is invisible and it eats people too? Uh-huh. Let's do that.
It looks legit. No, it definitely looks fun.
It is very underrated. Like, I definitely recommend it. It was recently free on Epic, and it's now going into Game Pass. Like, there's no excuse to not at least try it out.
I was going to say, it was on Games with Gold a while back, too.
Was it? See, I already owned it, so I didn't remember it being Games with Gold, but it's a good one.
Cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
not all good news. There are some games leaving Game Pass. On February 15th, console is losing Da Blob and Ninja Gaiden 2.
Okay.
And then PC is losing World of Horror.
Won't miss it.
World of Horror, what is that?
I don't know. It doesn't have achievements, apparently, so.
Oh, then I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, they don't care.
It's Dead a world game. That has horror in it.
But, I mean, I love horror games, but I need some motivation.
And then on February 16th, this one surprised me, Shadows of the Damned is leaving EA Play.
Boo!
I wasn't aware that games left EA Play.
Me neither.
Well, it's in Game Pass.
Yeah, but it was when it was on its own, like once something went in, it never came out.
Yeah, EA Play,
aren't they some of the rolling sports EA games? Play into?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, the sports games have done it. But I think this is the first non-sports game, isn't it?
I think so. I don't remember any other EA Play games leaving the service, but
yeah, it's
leaving EA Play, leaving Game Pass, so I don't know.
They're rolling EA Play into Game Pass.
Oh, it's already in Game Pass.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about Shadows of the Damned during
they are
the Game Pass segment.
Friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were saying EA Play, so I was slightly confused.
Well, it's part of Game Pass, so.
If you have Game Pass.
Right, you can still get them separately, I guess, right? Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, but Shadows of the Damned leaving, I don't know if this is a sign that it might be getting delisted soon, but if you ever had interest in the game, you might want to pick it up while you can.
You should play it. It's literally like one of those like weird, odd, random games that like I ended up playing through it twice, and it was like, it was just so good. I had such a great time start to finish.
And it has an achievement with the word fuck in it.
Sure does.
I didn't know that was fuck. A thing.
Come on. If anything, you're supposed to say fucking right, it does.
True.
I think the achievement
is called
Big Fucking
Gun. My favorite line from
that
game is like when he's trying to say Quetzalcoatl. Like, I cracked up for like a day. Like, it's the full solid day. And it's like late in the game too. So like, I could tell you that. You could play through it. You're going to forget. And then when it happens, you'll lose your mind.
God. Some games are joining PlayStation Now, so always good to see games joining that service. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is joining until April 29th, so you'll have that to play for 2 months.
Okay.
WWE 2K Battlegrounds is joining until August 2nd, which that was a really cool game. If you haven't played a wrestling game in a few years, give that one a go, because it was a blast. And then Detroit Become Human, Darksiders Genesis, Little Nightmares, and Hotline Miami 2 Wrong Number are all joining.
Okay.
Shadows of the Damned may already be delisted.
Bastards.
It should be.
I'm looking for it right now up on the Xbox website. It's not under the old marketplace. Okay, so they put it under the new one, but you can't buy it the old way, which is weird. So it's $20, but
you get a discount though for having Game Pass and EA Play.
Yeah, but
someone doesn't
get fucked.
Yeah, Cole, you would have said that whether I had Game Pass or not.
Yeah, but I said it with more emphasis since you didn't have Game Pass.
Put a little more truth behind
the statement, so there's more weight.
I said it with my chest.
Oh my!
Oh my god. Some sad news. Let's shift gears and talk about some sad news since we're all laughing. ZeniMax founder and CEO Robert Altman passed away this week. So there was a loss in the Bethesda family this week.
Oh, dang. Did it say what?
I didn't see if they stated why. I didn't pry. So I don't know. I'm lazy too, so.
Oh, that we know.
Yeah. Aki is still here. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just silent when I have nothing to contribute. But sometimes you just gotta laugh because shit's funny.
Not this show.
Well, it can be on occasion.
Trash Rando says GameStop's raising the price of Shadows of the Damned right now.
True.
Of course they are.
Probably.
So $40 used in reselling them.
Oh, man. Chris, some sad news for you. Activision Blizzard said it does not expect Overwatch 2 or Diablo 4 to release in 2021.
Oh, I could have told you that. It's like, I didn't even expect, like, with the whole, like, digital BlizzCon thing happening in, what, like, a couple weeks? I'll be shocked if I even see more than what was already, like, shown on Diablo 4. Like, I'll be shocked if they even have another trailer.
So you don't have high hopes for seeing Diablo 4 anytime soon?
No, I feel like I'll end up seeing a D2 remaster first, because it was already, like, leaked that the company that made the remaster for Tony Hawk is doing a remaster of Diablo now.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, a week or two ago. Cole, do you remember?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we had mentioned it. I do remember.
I mean, I'm stoked for it, because honestly, like, that company did a fucking great job with Tony Hawk. Like, a really good job. Like, that was probably one of the smoothest Tony Hawk games. Like, it's the smoothest playing Tony Hawk game that I've ever played. So if they can nail gameplay aspects of it and they focus on that like they did with Tony Hawk, I think they'll do fine.
Carnage says he hopes to see Tony Hawk 3 and 4 done next, except Vicarious Visions doesn't exist anymore. They're folded into Blizzard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still a subdivision, right? So, like, they're like, I think they're treating them almost like how they have the sectioned off versions for, like, the classic games division and, like, you know, Team 2 on Diablo and, like, all that kind of shit. Like,
didn't they dissolve Team 2?
It's still sectioned off in, like, in spots, because you have, like, the classic games division handles, like Diablo 3 technically is under that umbrella now.
That's a classic game now? Oh my god.
It's in their classic games division. They did that like before the pandemic, I think. Like, I think they did that like end of 2019.
Damn. And a shout out to Carnage, who rated us with 17 people. That's more people than that ever deserved to watch this show.
That's very sorry. Kind. Yeah, we're sorry in advance.
Yeah, we apologize that you're here. But thank you for being here. I hope you enjoy the show. Stick around. Hit the follow button. We do this every Tuesday and Thursday. Talk news. We talk video games. We have friends on. We're celebrating our 8th birthday tonight. So that's fun.
I mean, I'm curious. Is anybody else like kind of like a, like, how does everybody else feel about like digital BlizzCon?
Meh.
Like, have you guys already talked about that kind of stuff or no?
No, you're the Blizzard guy, Chris.
I was going to say, I think we saved it for you.
Well, that's kind of why. Like, I mean, I don't know. I figured it's the only thing that I could genuinely contribute to right now. So,
well, contribute. Let's hear it. What's going on with BlizzCon?
Well, I mean, like, game wise, like, are there any projects that anybody's even like remotely interested in when it comes to Blizzard now? Because I'll be perfectly honest with you, as much as I'm like, I would almost even consider myself a Blizzard fanboy, the past year, this is the first time in my life where I don't have any Blizzard products even installed on my computer.
Wow.
Whoa.
Like none.
Well, no, Cole, he said he doesn't have any Blizzard products installed on his computer. No, wow.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
That was a fucking terrible joke. You should feel bad. Jesus Christ.
I'm proud of it.
That was a pretty decent joke.
You're a son of a bitch.
Don't feed into him.
Don't encourage him, Chris. Don't encourage him.
I said it was okay.
Don't encourage that behavior.
Give me the spray bottle.
Well, I mean, I say that only because, like, you know, I think the largest spaces that they really have weight, and let's be honest, like, obviously WoW is like the biggest contender, but like even WoW is in a pretty weak position at this point. And I say weak just comparatively speaking, because, like, I mean, MMO wise, like, yeah, it's obviously going to be like at the top, but like comparatively speaking, even if you just take something like League of Legends or like Counter-Strike or any of those kind of things, it's going to blow those numbers out of the water. I even with things like Diablo and like with what like the Activision side of Blizzard doing, like Call of Duty and everything like that, Call of Duty's in a terrible spot. Like, there's just like hackers constantly. Like, I can even like appreciate the style of gunplay that Call of Duty has, and I've gone back and tried reinstalling it and playing it and all that kind of stuff, and it's just like riddled with people that are just exploiting the games. And it just makes it not fun. So I don't care how good the mechanics and stuff are nailed down. Like, if you can't get like hackers in line, like, it's just going to ruin the game for you.
No. That's a big reason I don't play online games that often, is I don't like dealing with hackers and dickheads.
Well, and it's funny too, because, like, you know, with the scope of how many people are involved in a lot of these games, it's just like, I just don't. Like, I've seen people hacking games like Counter-Strike and like stuff like that, but when you've got like things on such a massive scale, like, how much better do you really feel by like going in and just like trolling people that hard, I guess? I don't know. Like, I'll never understand like the logical side of the person that's just like, man, I just like, I had a shit day at work, so I'm going to go home and make everybody else's day shit by like ruining the game for them. Like, I'll never understand the thought process behind it, I guess. I don't know.
Some people just want to see the world burn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but like, shit, I don't know. Yeah. I think a lot of their products right now, personally, I feel are in a very weak spot, and I think it's going to take some pretty serious stuff for them to show off at this event. Not to mention the fact that, like, even just like BlizzCons in general, I've always had to watch them online because I know, like, damn well, I'm never going to have the money and the funds together to actually go to one of these things. So I appreciate that now even the digital versions, like, when you wanted to do the digital versions before, you still had to pay. Like, you would get some stuff as a kickback, like some certain, like, you know, cosmetic stuff that's only for people that have the pass for the people that did the BlizzCon shit. But, like, this year they're making it free for everybody. Okay, that's great. But does that mean that, like, you're not going to give shit away? Does it mean that, like, it's going to be like less interactive and less involved from a communal standpoint, and it's just going to be like, hey, check out this shit, make sure you buy it when it comes out, all right, see you, bye. Like, what's the protocol going to be like? What's the vibe going to be like, you know?
No. I don't know. When is it going down?
It's soon. I know it's soon. I don't have the date in front of me because, you know, I'm not prepared.
You should have that shit memorized. I am disappointed in you.
I normally would, but like, it's normally like in what, like September, October. So like, these dates are pretty kind of arbitrary.
There's even an article up on the SML podcast Facebook page, which apparently you're not following very closely, Chris.
I am, but I had to mute the notifications because it blows my phone up all the time because I'm still like tied to the account.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can pull you off it if you want.
I'm just like,
honestly, man, like, if you, that would be spectacular, because I've missed a lot of like messages for the band stuff trying to like
because Jacob's posting too many dumb memes.
No, just getting like notifications of comments on like pictures like that you'll post or something, and I'll just be like, oh, okay, great. Like,
again, whoops.
Yeah, it's all Jacob's fault. He's the one who handles all the Facebook
stuff. Oh, okay. I was like, wait, why are you apologizing? Like,
BlizzCon is February 19th.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's super, super soon. Yeah, it's two weeks? 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm very curious. I mean, obviously, like, Overwatch is a series that I'm interested to see, like, how they handle, like, some of the stuff that they announced last year for it were kind of interesting. Like about how they're integrating like people that have Overwatch 1 and Overwatch 2 and all that kind of stuff. It was really kind of weird. So I'm curious to see if they're still plan on implementing it the same way that they described before. I don't know. We'll see.
Chris, going back to how you were saying like how they're making everything free. Everything is only free after it's already aired.
Okay, all right. So, like, if you want to watch it in real time, you still got to pay for the pass.
You can stream through Twitch and YouTube, but then it's like after
as a VOD. Okay.
Yeah. Afterwards, it will become available for free. So
interesting.
And it's only 2 days. So
yeah, instead of like the 5 that it normally is, or something. I don't know, 5 or 6.
I don't know.
That's really the only thing that I'm like looking forward to as far as like, you know, next, you know, this month, I guess.
I know what Jacob's looking forward to in May.
Finally becoming a real boy.
Yes.
Nice.
Also, May 14th, Mass Effect Legendary Edition is releasing.
Yup.
It's finally happening. It's confirmed. It is real. It is May 14th. It is Mass Effect 1 through 3 with most of the single-player DLC. Apparently, Pinnacle Station will not be included.
Whoa. When did that get announced? I didn't hear that part.
The DLC, it appears that they lost the master code of it was corrupted, or they lost it or something. And remaking it would take an extra 6 months, and they apparently just weren't willing to do that, which is sad.
I mean, I'll be honest, nothing of value is lost with Pinnacle Station.
I disagree, because you used to be able to buy level 10 armor pieces and weapon pieces that way. That was the only way you could buy them.
I don't know. I can't say it works like that way for me. I just remember playing through it. And the problem with it was is that by the time I finally reached Pinnacle Station, my character was so overpowered that the only way I could get out of Pinnacle Station was to kill myself. So, like, I'd have to chuck grenades at the ground, like, right in front of myself and blow myself up just so the round would end.
Wow.
But then again, I also played like the original campaign like 20 times, so.
Well, now you get to play it again. You'll also get to play it with some gameplay improvements. They're supposedly speeding up the elevator rides. Thank God.
No. Like, no, there's no thank God about
that. In the first game, that it was great because the characters would talk to each other.
Have interactions
with each other. It was fantastic.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with those elevator rides. Be quiet, Joe.
They were long.
Yes, you know, were, but they had conversation. It was fun.
Something you'll never hear.
Pacing, Joe. Pacing.
Sure, we'll go with that. No multiplayer either. So all the multiplayer from Mass Effect 3 is not going to be included. I'm bummed about it. I like the multiplayer in that game.
Yeah, I thought it was okay, but it wasn't necessary at all. And I think I played it a couple of times just to even out my war assets, but that was it.
I played it a lot because I wanted all the fucking items in it. Like, all the weapons and everything, I wanted all of them upgraded to max. The only reason I played it. I'm obsessive to an unhealthy degree.
Oh, God. Also, unhealthy is the obsession people have with EA Sports College Football, but that is also coming back.
When was the last one? It was a while ago, right?
14.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, they've made it clear that it's EA Sports College Football, and I haven't seen any real mention of NCAA. I don't know what the...
So maybe, I was just about to ask, so there was that huge, like, lawsuit because of likeness rights and payment for the college students, stuff like that. Maybe they don't put the likenesses in of the students, they just have the colleges.
I think that's how it's going to be.
That would make sense.
Yeah. EA Sports College Football coming back. Not sure when, but EA confirmed it. It's happening. Also happening, Google Stadia is shutting down their internal game development studio.
Shocker.
Yes, Google will continue to operate the Stadia service, though Stadia is still going on, but their first-party development studios are all gone.
So the only reason anyone would have ever thought to have gotten it is gone. All right.
Yeah.
Yep, and they never even released anything worthwhile, so yay, Google.
Good old Google.
Google has development shiny object syndrome.
Sure do.
They make something, and before they're even finished telling you what it is, they're like, never mind, we changed our mind, look at this. And they're on to the next thing.
Yeah, they insisted they were in Stadia for the long haul, and they already gave up.
Yep.
Good shit. Yakuza Side Story Judgment is going to be coming April 23rd to PS5, Series X and S, and good old Stadia.
I mean, well, at this point, you don't even really have to include it in on the release. Like,
there's people who are like fucking furious that it's not going to PC, but it's going to Stadia.
I mean, let the game die then. Let it it's not the fans' fault.
I mean, on the plus side, until I can get my hands on an Xbox Series X, I finally found a reason to get a Stadia.
To waste money?
You take that back. Not the waste of the money part, the fact that you would buy a Stadia.
Oh, no, I wouldn't, no. There's way too many Star Wars figures I'd rather blow my money on than the Stadia.
You don't, like, the Stadia, you don't even need anything. You could just go to the website and use an Xbox controller and...
Oh my god, yeah, that's right!
You don't need a... There's no console, you don't need their controller, you don't need their special Roku, you just go on their website and sign up, pay for whatever.
PC players are just being dicks, that's all.
Well, that and Stadia sucks.
But both, yeah.
Yeah, but sadly, no Xbox One release for it.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'm getting an Xbox Series X eventually anyway, so it's all good.
Sure you are. The Xbox 360
I'm going to wait until next year when I can buy a graphics card again.
Yeah, but it's not going to be released for PC.
Yeah, by that time, I could use the Stadia browser.
Oh. Provided the service is still up.
Yeah, you're asking for a lot in a year.
NVIDIA experience.
Oh, like a shield. Yeah, like something like that. Yeah.
Arnage, I think N-Gage lasted longer. Oh, my God.
Dude, he might be right. He might actually be right, though.
The TigerGame.com was around longer.
GameCom. Chris, remember when we gave away a GameCom on this show?
I do remember. Yep, I was very jealous, actually. I wanted that thing.
And then you wanted the one that we donated to MAGFest.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The Xbox.
Like, you have another?
Well, yeah, Tim got two of them.
I know.
Yeah, he gave one to me and we gave one to Randall, who won the contest. I don't even remember what contest it was.
I don't remember either. We used to do a lot of them.
Yeah. We got to do more contests again. Those used to be
fun. I'm fine with that. I like winning things.
Everybody likes winning things, but then as soon as you put a stipulation in front of it, they're like, nah, fuck it, I'm good.
Listen to the show and leave a comment. God, do I have to?
Yep. I mean, hell, I'm on the show and I handle social media. I don't want to fucking leave a comment. Jeez.
Oh, you assholes. As I've been trying to say, the Xbox 360 remake of GoldenEye has leaked online and is playable on emulators and J-tagged Xbox 360 consoles.
It's playable?
Yes.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's the near complete. It is playable. And it's real.
That's weird.
I think my favorite part is, like, I've seen a bunch of people commenting on that. It's just like, oh, looks like the original. And it's just like,
duh.
No. But I mean, it's just like, buddy, have you seen what a Nintendo 64 graphics, like, what those graphics look like? No, this does not look exactly the same.
Yeah, people, I hate people who exaggerate glasses. About graphics.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. It looks pretty, like, it's pretty. Even for an Xbox 360 game, I wish I had the means to play this.
I wish Microsoft could find a way to release it.
Yeah, that too. That would have been nice, but I think it was the rights holders from James Bond.
I think so.
Killed it.
Well, there's a new movie that's supposed to be coming out and shit, right?
Yeah, No Time to Die is slated for October at this point, and the company that makes Hitman, it's like IO Interactive.
Yeah.
Is that their name?
Yep.
They are licensed to make a new James Bond game, which is going to feature an origin story for James Bond. So,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah, which I'm really curious as to whether it's going to go with the whole, like, it's been one spy the whole entire time, or if it's been, you know, James Bond is a code name along with, you know, 007 as right. a designation. So, yeah, I mean, we'll find out, obviously.
In due time. In due time. But some sales figures numbers. Let's talk numbers. That's always fun, right? ES4 shipments have topped 115 million units.
Jeez.
That's a lot. That's a big number.
Yeah. And PS5 so far has shipped 4.5 million units.
Wait,
that's crazy, actually.
That's a lot more than you'd think.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, 4.5 million shipped in how many months?
4.4 million of them were in Japan.
Well, yeah, probably.
And the rest are scalpers.
Yep, sounds about right.
Wait, that PS4 number, how many did you say it was?
115.
Wait, okay, 115 million total, like, worldwide?
Yes.
Okay, cool. No, I was just really, I was curious about that, just because I was wondering how that stacked against the PlayStation 2. So it's still got like 40 odd million to go.
Yeah, but I think
it's also only been out for what, 3 months? Like,
no, PS4, not PS5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, if the PS5 had sold 114 million units
in 4 months,
Microsoft just called it a day. Like, yeah. All right, we're done.
More sales figures. Spider-Man Miles Morales has sold 4.1 million units.
Yeah, they probably could have doubled that if they put it on Xbox. Dicks.
Yeah, I don't see that one happening.
At all.
Don't see that one happening at all. Worldwide Switch sales are nearing 80 million units.
We were one of those.
Proud of you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say, Chris hasn't been on for a while.
I haven't, yes. No.
Yeah, my wife just randomly came home one day, and she's just like, so I bought something. I'm like, oh, like some antique book or like some crap that she usually like brings home like to better the house or make it look nicer. I'm like, oh, what'd you get? And she's like, this. And she just dumps an Animal Crossing limited edition Switch on the table. And I'm just like, sick. Oh, okay. I was expecting like a $30 thing. This is a $300 thing. Alrighty. So, yeah, so we now have a Switch, which I was really surprised by. So I'm looking forward to playing Star Fox on that thing.
Yeah, I launched mine, I don't know, like a handful of nights ago. And I saw Animal Crossing, was too nervous to log in and see how bad it is.
so I you fired up the towns I was on
lying,
fire.
I really wish I was lying, but I literally I felt guilty. I turned it on. I saw the icon for Animal Crossing. I'm like, I can't go in.
Yeah,
like,
do it. I'm ashamed.
You log in and your whole island's just on fire.
Yeah.
Dude, I half everywhere. Expect it to be in that kind of shape. Like, that's why I'm like, I don't want to see how bad it is. Cause at one point I had it looking pretty nice. Like, or at least getting there. Like, I was working on it.
I don't know if I ever visited your island. Did I?
I'm pretty sure you did. Yeah. Cause I have all the fruits. I have all the, I was just starting to get into getting some of the flowers and stuff, but I never really cared about a lot of that stuff. It was mostly just kind of logging in and checking the catalogs for certain items that I wanted to put in the house. And that was about it. once I had KK play at the town thing, you know,
I miss Animal Crossing.
Spoiler alerts, I guess.
I don't know. KK Slider shows up. What? In Animal Crossing?
Yeah, because it was right. Actually, I know when I stopped playing. It was right after a little bit after the cherry blossom stuff.
I don't even know the last time I was on
with the eggs. It was after the eggs.
Oh, the fucking eggs! Oh my god!
Yeah, I think that was it. Like, that was driving me insane. It made me start to not like the game a little bit more. So I kind of petered off.
I like how they had to tone down the egg frequency in the first few days because the fan feedback was just stop giving me fucking eggs
all the time.
I want to catch a fish.
I finished my egg collection of all of the items and then I was like, dude, I'm fucking done.
What were the eggs for?
For making items. That was it. Easter themed shit.
Oy vey.
Yeah. But I do remember getting frustrated at how many eggs I got, and then I was just like, well, I guess I'll finish all the items. And then I finished all the items, and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I think Ashley made all the items, too.
Oh, I still have extra eggs after that, though. Because, what was it? You get, the wand. I made the wand. All of it. I went down the rabbit hole.
So the literal rabbit hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And then I hopped in. I told you I was playing the version of Tetris where you're playing against a bunch of people.
Oh, Tetris 99?
Tetris 99.
Yeah. So I was playing that more.
That's good shit.
Yeah, I figured that would be right up your alley, Joe. I still really want to try that. I installed that Tetris effect one, and that's pretty wild. I was enjoying that. I'm just not as good at it.
Oh, I love Tetris.
It's a good time.
Anyway, last bit of sales figures I have. Beat Saber has sold 4 million copies and over 40 million songs.
Damn.
Beat Saber's legit.
Beat Saber is legit.
Yeah, that is a pretty fun game.
Number one recently told me, I was like, I'm really surprised you haven't ever mentioned wanting Beat Saber. And she's like, oh, I want it. It's just that it's VR. And that's expensive, and I don't want to ask for it. And I was like, well, smart shit, kid. I feel bad for not realizing that she wanted it that bad and considering it, because I probably would have got it for her if she'd said something.
I tell you what, those quests for the money, man, they're pretty legit. They're good. It's definitely, if you're trying to get something just like... Well, I mean, you have a serious enough computer now where even I have an Asus Windows mixed reality headset or something like that, and I got it used mad cheap, and that's been serving its purpose for just getting through. I started playing Super Hot and shit like Super. That or the Pistol Whip, stuff like that.
Super Hot.
Dude, nothing's going to beat that game for me as a VR experience. It's so fucking good.
I've never that game, and that makes me very sad.
Oh, it's so good.
I am waiting for news on the PS5, whatever they're doing in terms of VR, because it was way too convoluted to try hooking up the VR in my room where we have the PS5 in my office.
Mm-hmm.
There are just too many cords, too much shit, too many things that I'm waiting to see what they're going to do with the PS5 and if they're going to have like a camera free headset or wire free headset or what they're going to do with that. They have to do something with because otherwise it's just running PS4 versions of everything.
I mean, do you think that they'll develop more into the VR space? I thought they were pretty much like out.
I hope so. I mean, I invested a good amount into VR games. I would like to be able to continue playing them.
You would hope, yeah. Especially with more powerful hardware, too, but...
You know. Yeah.
I suspect they're going to go full Google and just abandon it.
You think so?
I was going to say, like, I think they might. Like, because VR is definitely one of those, like, extremely niched spaces. And with how many big players are already in those niche spaces, I don't feel like... Like, I feel like that's why Microsoft kind of, like, is abandoning the Kinect. I feel like that's kind of why... Like, you know, PlayStation would potentially abandon their VR stuff too, is because, like, while it's cool to be able to experience some of that stuff, it's still not quite at the level that the mass, like, populace of consumers want it to be.
Yeah.
So I think it's still going to take a little bit to reach that level. But for enthusiasts that are just like, nah, I want to see what it's like now, PC's pretty much like, where a lot of that stuff lies. Or again, even with those newer quests, dude, for the price, they're relatively like cheap comparatively speaking. I think like what, like $300 or something like that.
I'm like
for
that.
For the headset and the controllers. And that shit's wireless. No computer needed. Like you literally just toss that shit on your head and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a pretty compelling argument for people that want to at least just experience where things are at currently.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if console doesn't. I know a lot of people want to see Xbox get into VR. I don't think it's necessary. I think PlayStation doing VR is fine. Like, have one company do VR. Don't let, like, Nintendo doesn't need to fuck with it. Microsoft doesn't need to fuck with it. Let Sony have VR.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, the mixed reality Minecraft shit that they showed, like, what, like 2-3 years ago or something like that was really sick. Like
yeah, that, and what I came of it?
it gets canceled this summer.
But yep. See, but that's the kind of shit that I'm talking about, where it's just like, yeah, it's a cool concept for these companies wanting to get into it, but it's just like,
yeah.
I think it's still going to end up falling short in levels of expectations of what people want, and that's enough for them to be like, nah, let's not invest into it. Like, it's too much of like a risk. And I mean, let's be honest too, it's like, for how niche of a market like VR stuff is, like there's plenty of people that are gaming enthusiasts that don't have headsets, yeah. and plenty of people that have no intentions of getting one for a while. So in the short term, it's probably like, yeah, do we really want to make headsets right now when we know that not as many people are going to grab them for the next couple of years?
Well, I know what Ashley and I are talking about possibly getting into to get more active with our gaming.
One of those fucking the treadmills with the shoes that you could run on?
DDR.
Oh, dude, hell yeah, man. I used to do that shit all the time when I was younger.
I was like looking up dance pads for Xbox 360, and like Mercari has some like the High School Musical 3 dance pads.
Dude, listen, no bullshit. You could actually get like a pretty well-constructed like pseudo-metal one for about like $100. $100 is about what I got mine for like back in the day.
Yeah, we're thinking about getting back into that. So I might pick up some games and some dance pads and see if I could get moving again.
Hell yeah, man.
My fat ass dancing and sweating.
I mean, I'm a big proponent of people like wanting to like do some stuff. I've had to like force myself to try and do some more stuff recently.
You should play more Rock Band, more drums. Let's play Rock Band, Chris.
I sold the thing, remember? You helped me sell it.
Okay,
you were the one that gave me the heads up to sell it.
Play guitar then. I thought you still had a normal drum kit though.
Like a Rock Band drum kit.
Did I think you did?
No, I only got the guitars.
I'll let you borrow my drums.
I was only able to get the Rock Band stuff to work because I bought the MIDI adapter and the 360 controller with the MIDI in.
No. God, it is depressing how expensive Rock Band stuff has gotten.
Dude, it's insane. It's really insane. I'm surprised that there's not as many companies making replacement parts for them. I did see a company that was making like third-party versions of the Wii guitar controllers for people to use on PC that are like wired. But they've switched the buttons out for mechanical switches, like on the fretboard.
Mm-hmm.
They look fucking legit, man. Like,
No. Yeah, breathe deep. Who's breathing into the mic?
Like, I don't know. Maybe me.
Well, that's the news I have. Is there any news anyone else wanted to talk about?
Well, we can confirm that there was, in fact, a live-action Legends of Zelda series in planning at one point. Pretty much what happened is Netflix and Nintendo were working on it, and then somebody from Netflix spilled the beans, and Nintendo was just like, yeah, fuck this, we're out. And then went over to Universal, because pretty much between that and also the Sony leaks from years ago, because Sony was originally working on a Super Mario Brothers movie, and so those two things got leaked out, and Nintendo was like, yeah, we're going to take our ball and go home. So we could have had a, instead of The Witcher, we could have had, Legend of Zelda. And then the other interesting thing out of that news is that there was also an unannounced claymation Star Fox show that was also being worked on at Netflix. And it turns out it was going to be a collaboration between Nintendo and College Humor.
Weird.
Yeah, they did some sort of a short way back in the day called The Fantastic Mr. Star Fox. And Nintendo really enjoyed that and were just like, yeah, let's do more shit along that line. Huh. So
that's interesting.
But now we don't get it.
Womp womp.
Yeah, that's surprisingly, you were really thorough with the news this week. So
only had that. Fuck you.
Well, usually I have to like, does anybody have any news? And actually, Joe, you missed out on all these things. For once, I only have one news story.
Well, then I guess we're going to shift over to reviews. Chris, we're going to let you get going. It's been awesome having you on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Gotta come back more frequently.
You do.
I know. I'm trying. Shit's fucking really crazy right now. I don't want to be like Mr. Debbie Downer, but like I got a family member that's in the hospital due to COVID shit, and
fuck.
So that's been taking up a lot of my time, and just trying to like put out fires within the family and all that kind of stuff. So,
damn. But, stay good, stay safe, and come visit us again soon.
Yeah, man, it's been too long since I've like been down there to just like chill. So I'll let you know what's going on.
PS5 and the Series X.
Yeah, I would love to.
Do it up. You know where I am.
I do.
Do you have any final words, Chris?
Fuck Activision Blizzard, I guess. I don't know.
That's fair.
Yeah, that works. All right, have yourself a good one, Chris.
All right, see you guys. Love you.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, everyone ready for reviews?
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess.
Aki, are you ready?
Sure.
Because you're starting off.
Oh, God. Why am I starting? Why? Why? What did I do?
Because the first game to talk about tonight is called Werewolf the Apocalypse Earthblood, developed by Cyanide, published by Nacon, released February 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. You are Cahal, a powerful being who chose to go into exile after losing control of his destructive rage. Can transform into a wolf, into a Krenos, a huge ferocious beast. Master your three forms and their powers to punish those who defy Gaia. Aki, tell us about Werewolf the Apocalypse Earthblood.
Okay, this is an action/stealth game. You go around as Cahal, just trying to take down this big energy company that's fucking up the planet by being assholes, as energy companies are to do.
Aren't they called Endron?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Endron. Got that D in there.
Yep. It's exactly what I was thinking the moment I heard it. I was like, ah, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. And basically, you're a group of werewolves, and the individuals who didn't become werewolves but are still werewolves. It's a little convoluted. In their society, when they're getting older, some of them actually change into werewolves, and some of them just stay humans. But they're all considered part of the same group because they're not human. They're some other species, kind of like vampires. So Cajal and a very small group that includes his wife try to get information to take Indron down. And another werewolf that works with the company kills the wife. So he goes crazy, rage, anger, everything must die mode, and ends up killing an ally and banishes himself. And then it skips 5 years into the future. And now he's back to help his people because they're under attack. Again, by Indron, because, of course, they're dicks. Why wouldn't they attack him? So, yeah. In this, you play as a human or as a wolf. You can always switch between them as you want, which is really fun. The Cajal as a human uses a crossbow to take out guards. He can also kill them when he gets close to them if he's being stealthy. He can interact with, you know, electronics and stuff. But as a wolf, he's a lot stealthier. He's significantly faster. And he has the keen sense to be able to sense the spirits, which are literally exactly that. The spirits, they're the spirits of nature. And you can collect those as experience boosters to help you level up your various abilities, which are mostly just when he changes into his werewolf form, which is only used during combat, and it fucks everything up. It is so awesome.
Yeah, when you transform into the Krenos or whatever it's called, that's, I think, when the game is at its peak, is when you're just fucking shit up.
Yeah, see, I like the stealth elements a little more. I am also annoyed by the stealth elements a little bit as well. There's various types of enemies that you fight. There's, you know, mooks with a whole bunch of different weapons. Then there's these big buff motherfuckers who have been modified with some sort of serum or some shit. And then there's giant mech people in mech suits who are also douchebags. You can only stealth take out the peons. You're this big, like, you look like you at fake physique, and it, you look like you're part of a fucking biker gang. Those big guys, you should be able to fucking stealth take down. I don't care what they say. You should be able to do that. It drives me fucking nuts. And there should be some way of disabling the mechs, because the stealth gameplay is actually fairly good. That is the only thing, in my opinion, that hinders it, is you can't take those guys down. So you end up having to fight them. And then it's like, well, I just took out everyone else, and now they're going to call in reinforcements because these guys are going to see me because I have to get across this area where they're constantly looking and they don't fuck off from. It's like, just let me stealth take them down, please. Let me shoot them in the back of the head and kill them or something. I just anything so I don't have to set this shit off. But No. They really like the fighting.
I like the fighting too. I like transforming into the beast and just shredding everyone up. And one of the first achievements I got was for doing all the fatalities or the execution moves during one battle.
So I think that was one of the first ones I got too. Because all I everyone. Did that first whole fight was I just executed everybody. I was like, well, this is simple. When you're playing as the werewolf and you're in combat, after you take down enemies to a certain health, you can just click a button and Cajal will grab them, and then you click the button again and he kills them instantly. The really low-level mooks, you can just immediately hit it the moment you're close to them, and he'll just pick them up, rip their heads off, tear them in half, whatever. It's really fun. And that's why I got that in the very first fight, because it was like getting 5 of them or 15 of them in one fight. And it was just like that entire room was just mooks with such little health that you could just immediately grab them and kill them. No fight whatsoever. And I just did that for all of them just because fuck it. Why not?
It was fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the combat is fun in this. I'm not going to lie. I like the stealth part because I'm a stealth gamer more so, but the combat's pretty fun. The voice acting's pretty good too. The writing is hit or miss, fairly often missing, but the voice acting I thought was really good. The overall story's pretty nice. You're trying to take down this big company that is fucking over Earth because you're guardians of Gaia Earth. And not only that, but they're also trying to help the worm spread, which is basically death. And they're purposely doing that, which is one of the reasons why Indron is such a dickbag. The story is overall is pretty good. It's just the writing for character interactions sometimes leaves stuff to be wanted. Graphically, it's okay. When characters are talking to each other, it's kind of meh.
Yeah, the character animations, I think, are a mixed bag. I think the environments look really good.
Oh, yeah, very. And the wolf form looks amazing.
Yeah, I played on Series X. I know you played on Xbox One. I thought it looked really crisp on the Series X. I didn't have any issues overall graphically, just animation-wise, I had the issue. But graphically, I thought it was good.
I occasionally had some pop-ins, especially during cutscenes, the beginning of them. Details would start filling in. But that's not really a huge issue to me. It's just like, oh, a little bit of popping. Oh, well, I don't really care. Because the characters' mouths don't match up when they're talking any fucking way. What do I care? Overall, I really like it. I hope to see another one of these, because this was really, really good. I'm only missing 3 achievements on it for my first playthrough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You have to find every spirit in the game for an achievement. No one has obtained that yet, as far as I'm aware. I got to 99% on my first playthrough, and then I missed one somewhere, and I am sad, Panda.
Damn.
There's one for not killing any civilians in a mission. I'm like, I don't kill civilians in missions. I kill Indron soldiers, who are kind of the literally exact opposite of a civilian. They're combatants? That's the exact opposite. So I don't know how to get that. And at the end of the game, you have a choice to make. And each one gives you an achievement. Problem with this game is you can't save scum it. It auto-saves. There's no manual saving in this game. So you have to replay the entire game from scratch all over again.
Damn.
Yeah. And, you know, that's
no chapter
sad.
Select?
No. I really would have liked that too.
Well, overall, $50 on this one. What are you thinking?
Fuck yeah. I'm all for it. This was a fun game. It took me 28 hours, I think, total for my first playthrough, but I was literally doing everything.
Yeah.
So I figure probably 15 to 18 hours if you're just running through it. Maybe faster if you really fuck everything up in combat real quick. I'm not particularly great, especially in the later levels. There's just a lot of stuff it throws at you, and it gets really difficult. But I think it's great. I really enjoyed it. I hope to see another one.
Awesome. Sounds good. Sure. All right. Next up is The Medium, developed and published by Bloober Team, released January 28th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $49.99. Discover a dark mystery only a medium can solve. Travel to an old communist resort and use your unique psychic abilities to uncover its disturbing secrets. Solve dual reality puzzles, survive encounters with sinister spirits, and explore two realities at the same time. Paul, tell us about The Medium.
Man, I love Bloober Team. I've been so incredibly excited for the medium, and I have to just go ahead and come out of the gate and be like, it did not let me down. I know that there's a lot of talk from other people kind of poo-pooing the game because you could kind of consider it walking sim-like. I get the criticism, but I also don't fucking mind. I think one of the best things about psychological horror is just experiencing it. And I don't need combat when I'm trying. I don't want to be stealthy trying to avoid shit. I don't want I don't want a whole lot going on. I want to be enriched in the world when I'm experiencing psychological horror. Which Bloober just does incredibly well. And the medium is a showcase to their ability to do that. That said, psychological horror is kind of a niche genre. Like, not a lot of people, even people who are like, oh, I love horror. Then you throw psychological horror or psychological thriller at them, and they're like, it's so slow, it's boring. And it's like, no, you have to really buy into the world for it to work. And if you're looking to play the medium, you have to already go ahead and accept that that's where you're going to be. That it's a slow build up of tension, and it's an experience that it's not going to just hit you like a ton of bricks with some scary monster in the face immediately. That's not how psychological horror works. The tension and the unease and experiencing the world through Marianne's eyes. And her, you know, descent into these two different worlds and how she experiences both reality and the spirit world simultaneously, the way that all comes together and is married in the game, like, that's your payoff, right? And you have to go ahead and be like, the pathway to that is an interactive movie. And you have to be cool with that if that's the way you're going to approach this game. If you go into it with, I need a sword, a gun, and something to kill, then of course you're not going to enjoy it as much. But if you take your time, you look around, you actually read the fucking context clues, then it builds up. And it's an eerie, uncomfortable game. And they do it so well. I had to play it on PC. I do not have my Series X yet, and it is not available on Xbox One. So PC it was. I'm not mad about it. It looked absolutely stunning. I played it with ray tracing and all the good stuff. It ran smoothly, 60 frames per second. Everything was beautiful. I just sat a lot of my time with the game and poked around and looked at things just to see what it was. How was it going to look in this light? Number one was in here at one point, and I just kept walking around because I was fascinated by the ripples and the puddles when Marianne would walk through them. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, look at the puddles. Look how good the puddle looks.
You are so fucking weird.
I get really into, like, well, there's
Cole's pain meds kicked in.
Think about the mechanics involved in that, though. And, like, they spent so many people play games, and you just ignore all those tiny little details. But those are the things that make the world real and that makes it believable. And there's so much effort and detail that's been put into the medium to make it feel real, even when you're in the spirit world, that you're just like, yeah, I could buy that this place exists. One of my biggest pet peeves when you're in, like, a game with a grassy or wooded area is how the foliage always looks flat, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you walk around it, that shit is just a 2D stick there in the middle of the world. And it feels funny. It feels when you don't feel like you could buy it's a real world all the time. But in the medium, like, I was walking around in a forest environment or walking around in an old hotel, and you're like, man, there's everything is fleshed out. It's been lived in and died in, you know? And that's an incredible testament to what Blooper Team has done. You can see elements of all their previous games coming together in the medium to create what it is. The psychological horror of Layers of Fear and Layers of Fear 2, and that unease and that tension in storytelling mixed with the 3D exploration and the making a world feel lived in and the character development that we saw in Observer. And then you move on to like even Blair Witch and the environment and the development that progressed there. You see all of that has built up to become what the medium is. And it's impressive. If you've played through all their games, you're going to recognize it when you're playing the medium. I will say I do have one minor gripe. One of my least favorite things in games is when they feel like they need to create an action sequence. And so there's a chase sequence, especially in a game that otherwise is very exploratory and just like go with the flow and solve some puzzles.
No.
There is a chase sequence and I just got so fucking frustrated. I hate chase sequences. I hated them in Layers of Fear 2. I hate them in every other game that uses them the moment there's a chase sequence. And it's a little worse in the medium because the game uses fixed cameras, which aren't my favorite thing in the first place, but like I could at least get used to it in the medium. And when I was just getting used to it, then it was like, now run. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to run. And then I get dead. And then I'm like, now I got to start it all over again and just not want to all over again. So I do wish that maybe there was some kind of option to just not. Just let me watch her run away because I don't want to do it. That'd be great. Beyond that, I just really enjoyed the game. I really enjoyed the world that they built up with it. Everything was incredible. Marianne is a believable character and you just kind of attach yourself to her and care about the way that she moves between the spirit world and the real world. It is really interesting how they found ways to make your movements in the two different realms be separated but also joined at the same time. So if you have a scene where you're controlling Marianne, she's accessing the spirit world, there's a few different options for gameplay that they've thrown in, where sometimes in order to solve a puzzle, you may need to take control of her and have an out-of-body experience where her real-world body stays in place, but she can freely explore the spirit realm, but that comes at a cost and she gradually loses herself and you just see bits of her flaking away as she moves around. And if she stays too long, she becomes disconnected and just lost and you have to start again. Then there are times where, I lost my train of thought.
Proud of you.
I was thinking about the way she moves around.
Well, you're thinking Carnage dropped 8 bits, George.
Dropping bits!
Dropping bits indeed.
Wet pancakes! Fucking but, yeah!
The way she moves in between and the way that things that you interact with in the different realms. Sometimes you can focus on the spirit realm or you can focus more on being in the live realm. The way that your interactions affect the way you move in between the two worlds. Sometimes you may need to solve a puzzle in one realm to be able to progress through the other. That split screen gameplay where you're essentially playing two games at once is really impressive. And it's, I think that it is something that we will probably see be utilized in future games. And I hope so, because it's cool. I think there's a lot of potential for what they could do with that.
Did they patent the dual reality gameplay system?
I think somebody said they did in chat. I'm not sure. I hadn't looked that up. I
wonder if other games I'm will sorry. Be able to.
Wait, sorry, wait. They patented that. That's
he's good. Asking.
No, shut up. I've had some wine. no, because the thing is, like, the gameplay sounds a lot like the 2005 Constantine game that went along with the movie. Because like you would know. Switch him. Because you would switch in between the worlds. I mean, like, I'd have to watch the gameplay of it. But, I mean, it sounds a lot very similar to it.
It's not that you necessarily... They're both on the screen at the same time with split screen. And when you move,
you see two
versions of her.
Yeah, you're playing two games at once, basically.
However, there are times where, like... Okay, if she's walking down a hall, and if the hall is clear on both sides, great. But if it's blocked in the real world, and she can go through it in the spirit world, then you'll have to have an out-of-body experience, go through it, and then go around and solve whatever puzzle is blocking it on the living side. And then come back from the out-of-body experience and continue on.
Okay, that is not the same as Constantine.
No. It's really in depth, and I like the way that they worked it out so that you never feel like it's gimmicky or like it's just a concept that they didn't do enough with. Like, you're like, yeah, this was really creative, you know? So, I really enjoy it. I don't think anybody expected me to not enjoy it. Yeah, psychological horror is my shit. Walking Sims are my shit. Puzzles are my shit. Creepy ghost characters are my shit. This game was made for me.
Well, then do I even need to ask $50 your verdict?
I think you should fucking buy it. And if you can't fucking buy it, at least play it on Game Pass, because it's definitely worth your time.
I hope I remember to make Walking Sims are my shit as one of the hashtags
I will say, though, in all fairness, if you're an achievement whore, you do have to get all the collectibles in one playthrough, and there is no chapter select.
Boo.
Yeah.
Poopy diapers, but I can manage.
So sometimes you just have to shrug and go, I'm going to get what I get and just play the game.
That works.
Yeah.
Alright, next game to talk about is called Bonkies, developed by Studio Gauntlet, published by Crunching Koalas, released January 29th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $14.99. Bonkies is a jolly couch co-op party game with a pinch of construction building. Gather your prime mates, equip your banana-fueled jetpack and robo-arm, and raise wacky buildings all over the cosmos for the glory of ape kind. Become the champion of space construction.
My soul.
I know.
Hurts now.
I know.
Fucking terrible.
Jacob, tell us about Bonkies.
All right. So, pretty much, you are these apes that are given this like bionic and a jetpack. So, I mean, that sounds pretty cool. But pretty much, what you have to do is that you have to put these these blocks that you're given, and you have to put them into like a predetermined form. And you have to like make them fit, and like they get progressively harder and harder, and you get weird abstract pieces, kind of like Tetris pieces. And so there ends up being like a lot of trial and error with it. Now the concept is cool, and I believe Joe and Cole also got this.
Yep, I played a little bit of it on Xbox. Okay. I didn't have too much time because I don't have anyone to play with. But
well, and that was part of the problem too. So pretty much there's a solo campaign and then there's a couch co-op campaign, and the game does market itself as, you know, being family friendly and stuff. So I tried out the solo campaign first, and one of the issues I immediately ran into is that your bionic arm thing, which is supposed to have its own directional stuff, it would just fold up onto itself, like kind of like how like an elephant trunk will roll up. And it wouldn't get out of that position. And so like I had a very hard time picking up stuff.
I have a question for you.
What's up?
Did you have it set to the face buttons, or did you go in and change it to be functional with a thumbstick?
I did both.
Oh, okay.
And I still had I still had issues. And we did reach out to the studio for this, and they had recommended me trying a couple of things, including uninstalling it and reinstalling it. But for some reason, I don't know what it was, but it's we just constantly had issues with that little bionic arm thing. And sometimes it would work, other times it just straight up wouldn't. So, and there would never ever seem to be any kind of rhyme or reason. And so we had levels where we just couldn't. The levels also do have a timer on it. So if you get, you know, if you get everything done, your like three objectives done within a certain amount of time, you get a banana, which of course, you know, that's what monkeys want, to go into space and get bananas. So I was never meeting these goals. Like,
me neither. Like,
and never getting the bananas. And so it just eventually got to the point where, like, I was having levels where I couldn't, you know, I just wasn't getting anything done because the little grabber arm wasn't responding as it wanted to, or as it was supposed to. I did try co-op, which, again, this is one of those things where it's just like, I get couch co-op. And there's a level of fun to that, but there's no online co-op, which, again, when you're launching during the pandemic, and it's a pandemic that's not going away, you know, it's one of those things where I honestly thought that this would have been more fun, provided that my bionic arm was working. This would have been more fun, like, online, but we did do couch co-op. I did it with my oldest son, who is 6, and... the game advertises itself as being like kid friendly, but he was having worse luck than me, trying to move his monkey around and, get the bionic arm. I don't know if it's just, he wasn't listening to me or what, but it was just, as I said, he was having worse luck than me.
Like father, like son.
And then my wife and I played, but she quit pretty far, like pretty early in, because she was just having the same issue as me with the bionic arm thing. And it was just like, yeah, this isn't fun for me. And she was just like, yeah, I'm kind of done. And so I think it has, like, I think, honestly, I thought it was a solid concept. But it's just the controls weren't working for us. And I don't know if it operates better on an Xbox Series X. I know Cole would, You would have been playing it on an Xbox One, right?
I played it on PC actually. Oh,
well, yeah. Well, shit, of course.
Wasn't my fault.
No. I mean, so maybe it just doesn't run well on Xbox One. I don't know. I mean, did you guys have this issue, or was it just me?
I didn't have that issue. No.
No, I didn't have it either. I tried both setups, where you can use either the face buttons or the thumbsticks. I will say, even on PC, if you're going to play this and you're going to play it with multiple people, the game very much stresses that you should be playing it with a controller or a gamepad of some variety. You can play it with the mouse and keyboard. You should not. Not if you want to have any kind of sanity. I tried to play co-op where one of the kids was on the keyboard. And I was playing with the controller, and it just was not happening. But see,
sorry to interrupt. I honestly figured a keyboard and mouse would have been better, because I figure you just control the mouse, like you control the monkey with the keyboard, and the mouse would be good for the bionic arm thing.
It didn't fly. The game definitely wants you to play with the controller. It's just that I didn't have the issues with the arm drawn up. I was able to control everything fine. I just kind of thought that the idea of the game wore itself out a little quickly for me. It felt kind of repetitive, and I was just like, yep, stack it, got it, done. And then I started to feel like I was a monkey, and I was like, this is not, you know, flying for me. The kids, they abandoned me. They got annoyed trying to control it at all. We're not big on physics games in this house anyway. And so it just wasn't exactly like screaming at us, but there's something for everybody, and this just wasn't for us.
No.
So.
Well, $15, I got to ask your verdicts.
I mean, with the experiences we had with it, I would not currently at this time. I mean, like, if they got fixed, or like, hell, even if they were just like, yeah, like, there's something definitely wrong with your system or your controller or something like that, like, I don't know. Like, as I said, the idea seems solid, and I honestly think I'd enjoy it, but as it currently was for us, and the fact that there's no online multiplayer for it, I'm going to go with the not recommend right now.
I'm actually going to go with a try it. I think there's definitely people out there. I didn't have the actual issue, so I don't feel quite as harsh toward it. It's just that it's just not the kind of game for me, and I think there's plenty of people out there who would like it, so I tend to look at it from that aspect a little more, and so I think it's okay with a try it, but it's you definitely got to be the right kind of person for a game like this.
Yeah, and you have to figure out how to not break things.
Yeah, Jacob. Yeah. Nice that I was the one that broke it for
you. I know. What is it with my team breaking games?
I do it on purpose, but, you know, after you said Jacob had already broke it, I was like, well, I can't do that again.
Yeah, I mean, between this and that friggin' pool game from a while back.
You're just cursed.
I guess that's just why you gotta stick me with Yakuza games for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that is it for you for this episode. Are you going to stick around or are you heading out?
I'm heading out. I got wine to drink.
You punk bitch. Do you have any final words before? Wine. Yet.
I'm going to make some toilet wine.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
You know, happy anniversary to the SML podcast. Glad I've been here for most of it, off and on. But here's hoping we have 8 more.
Oh, God, don't curse me with that. Don't curse me with that.
No, Joe, you're going to have 20 more.
Oh, Jesus. I'm not going to live that long.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're going to outlive all of us. Watch it.
Fuck. All right, we're moving on.
You're going to be like 95 and still doing this thing. Like, here we are.
Am I going to have to hang up on you?
Yeah, probably. All right, later.
Oh, God. All right. Next game to talk about is called Wildfire, developed by Sneaky Bastards, published by Humble Games, released December 3rd on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. Master the elements in this stealth game where everything burns. Use your elemental powers to start fires, freeze water, and move earth as you outsmart superstitious enemies in this mischievous 2D stealth game. Aki, tell us about Wildfire.
All right. You play as a guy, I think, that's just called Witch through like 99% of the game. You hear his name at the beginning, I believe, but it was like once and that was it. A meteor has crashed close to your fairly sizable city. It's one of those like, we're all happy, happy, joy, joy, hippie groups is what it reminded me of. They go out, they go and find it, and when you touch it, you magically are able to start setting things on fire. Hence, you're called the witch from that point forward. Well, some duchess of some city has sent her soldiers out to go find this thing, and they decide in their infinite wisdom just to destroy your entire town. Because fucking why not? Soldiers. Yeah. And you decide, well, you're going to use these powers to go find everyone that they've taken as prisoners and to defeat both the commander that is psychotically trying to kill you in every possible way, as well as possibly to deal with the Duchess herself. And throughout this, you use fire to burn things, as you might guess. But you also find these little upgrade statues that you can throw an element into, starting with fire. Eventually, you get other elements like water and earth and such. But you can throw the element into this little bowl on the statue, and you'll get an upgrade point for that specific element. And that allows you to do various things. For fire, there's one that eventually allows you to double jump if you have fire in your hand. It kind of sets you on fire a little bit, but it lets you jump much higher. There's another one that lets you turn the fire into smoke so that you can knock out guards or hide yourself from guards and the like. Every one of them has stuff like that in it that just gives you a lot more utility, as well as a shared link, which is basically your checkpoint system, and it just upgrades your general abilities, like, oh, you can pull elements from further away, oh, you can throw things further, stuff like that, basic things. And yeah, you have a few hearts, and you can't really take out any of the soldiers, because you're just some random schmuck. Yeah, you can suddenly use fire and water and all that other crap, but they have metal armor, and you can throw a single dinky chunk of fire at them. Not enough to burn their armor or anything, so you
It'll
can't
make it
really
hot.
Yeah, for like the 2 seconds that it's on there, and they're just going to look down at the ground and be like, mm-hmm, pull their swords out and then stab you a couple of times. Which he does not agree with being stabbed a couple of times, as you know, one might figure out.
Yeah,
from
most
the fact
people
that
don't
he
like
dies.
Being stabbed.
Yeah, yeah. When you get stabbed, you tend to die a little bit. So it's very much a stealth game. You can pickpocket them to get collectibles off of some of the guards. But most of it is just you completing each individual level. There's fucking 40 of them, I think it said, which is a lot. I have not been able to finish them all because they're difficult. But not only do you have 40 levels to complete, you also have a bunch of objectives within each level that gives you upgrade points for your shared link ability, just making you better at everything in general. Some of these are complete the main objective, obviously complete the side objective. There's one for speed runs. There's one for doing it without killing any guards, which shouldn't be too hard to get because it's very hard to fucking kill them. One for not being seen, stuff like that. There's a bunch of them in every level. The commander keeps finding you and trying to kill you in new ways, which just gives you new powers. Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, apparently.
Makes you stronger.
Unless it's cancer. I'm just saying. So
I had Kelly Clarkson going on in my head, and you just had to ruin it with depressing shit.
Yes, I did. You're welcome. But, it's going to be a hard one to complete because there are achievements for basically doing all the extra stuff. So leveling up to max, basically. You're expected to do all the beating it all in under the par time, doing it all without being seen, without getting kills, et cetera, et cetera. It is going to be a long one for people. I've already put 10, 15 hours into it, at least. And I just unlocked my third of four abilities right before we started talking, actually, about the game, because I've been playing it this entire time. it's hard. It's a hard game. So be prepared for that. Especially the speedruns are... They really toe the line between being doable and absolute bullshit.
Damn.
So, yeah. There's a few levels and I'm just like, I'm never going to fucking get this done. This ain't happening. So,
well, $15 on Wildfire. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. You're going to get probably 30, 40 hours out of this at least would be my guess. So, yeah. Fuck it. Why not? Yeah. It's a good one.
No, fuck it. Why not is for cheap games. Is it going to buy it?
Get it. Buy it.
Okay. Yeah, fuck it, why not is for the cheaper games, like $5. It's so cheap that fuck it, why not?
Buy it. Go buy it.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, next up is Habroxia 2, developed by Lilimo Games and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released February 3rd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, Vita, and Steam for $9.99. In the aftermath of a brutal attack on free space, humanity sends scout ships to the star system that was at the source of the assault. But when one of the pilots doesn't return home, it's up to his daughter, the talented star pilot Sabrina, to find him. Cole, tell us about Habroxia 2.
It's a shmup. You shoot things. That's what you do. And then things go boom, and then you get credits, and then you fight a boss, and then you do it again. That's the long and short of it. It's basically Habroxia, but a sequel.
Helpful.
I like this review already. I think like we can wrap it up now.
It's such a simple concept, right? Like, so what else are you supposed to say? It does have some neat little
spin-offs. Like Adam in chat, people are still publishing onto the Vita. Yeah, there's a few.
It's a good one.
You know what would be good on the Vita?
And it shoots what?
Lost Caves.
Xbox first.
Yeah.
Then Vita.
Okay. Anyway, Habroxia 2.
So yeah, it's a perfectly fine shmup. If you like the first one, you're going to like this one as well. It does build on the concepts of the first one. You're not always just shooting. Sometimes you can uncover secret paths, and then you can actually go different ways and play a boss with a different, or play a level with a different boss. Boy, the drugs did hit hard. <What the hell? laughs> It just caught me right there. But you can play a level and have a totally secret second boss that you had to go find, which is nice. That's an interesting change of pace. Does still have the hidden astronauts around that you got to go find and rescue, or you can just shoot them if you're a monster. You get 10 of them that you shoot, you get an achievement. So the game wants you to be a monster. They have added in boss bounties, and apparently you get them for just killing certain enemies in the level. I've gotten a lot of them, and I'm going to be honest with you. I have no fucking idea how you figure out something is a boss bounty. There's always a set number of them per level, and if you get one, and then you go back later and you get another one, it counts as getting the two for the level all the same. And I still have not figured out what marks something as a boss bounty. It's different every time. I think it's just a thing that just it decides to give you sometimes. And there's no real way to figure out what it is. I would like, if you're going to have an achievement and a tracker and all that tied to something like that, that maybe you make it a little clearer what it is. Like, make that bitch glow. Make it a different color. Make something point out that it's a boss bounty other than just, hey, congratulations, you did it. And then I'm like, what was that, though? although it also might not matter, because there are so many fucking enemies on the screen that you're just like, what was that, though? A whole lot of the time. You either kill it or it just flies by. It doesn't fucking matter. Ideally, you want to kill everything, but it's also not possible to kill everything sometimes, because you do have to go different paths, and sometimes you just have to let shit go. That's stressful, because I very much have kill it all syndrome. And if I see it, I want to shoot it. And if you put a wall in front of me, I'm going to hit the wall 100 times because I'm trying to go shoot things. That's a me thing, and I'm aware of it. I do like that it at least gives you the path that you can go, and it makes it feel like there's some type of pseudo choice going on, although doesn't always matter unless you stumble across the one that actually leads you to a second boss. And then once you figure out the path that leads you to the second boss, then you have to break the habit of every time you replay the level not going down that path. I can be a little habitual, and I'm like, oh, I went right last time and that worked out. Let's go right. And I'll play it 17 times. I'll be like, God damn it, I need to beat the other boss. I got to stop going right.
And then you just always choose to go left instead.
Go right, but I can't. Like, my head's—it's muscle memory. You just You're like, that way worked, and you go. And then you're like, oh, but that wasn't the work I needed. I needed to go the other way and work that one this time.
How do you?
Like, I can't. There are two paths. Some of them have three carnage. Just to be fair. But, you know, ultimately, it's a shmup. There's a lot to be had as far as the game goes. You can have the shop. You can buy upgrades. I will say, I remember having to grind in the first game to get upgrades. I don't remember having to grind quite so severely to get upgrades. It definitely feels like the point values have, inflation's a thing. They've gone up. But you can work it out. You just have to grind out a little harder. And at least it's not as boring if you can break your habit of always taking the right path and go left for a change.
Well, what do you think? $10.
It's what? Cool. The Habraki is a good shmup. It just is.
Yeah, I like Lilimo. They do good stuff. Mm-hmm. And Carnage is saying you keep upgrades when you go to New Game Plus. So that's awesome. Cool. All right. Next game to talk about is called How to Take Off Your Mask Remastered, developed by Rose Verrett, published by Rattleika Games, released February 5th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. How to Take Off Your Mask Remastered is a cute fantasy visual novel with one love interest. One day you discover the other side of your partner you had never known. What is the truth beneath the masks? Aki, tell us about How to Take Off Your Mask Remastered, and does it relate to the pandemic?
No, not at all. Sorry. Oh.
Got my hopes up for nothing.
Yes, this is not about doctors and nurses. I'm sorry. In this, you play as Lilia, and you act as effectively as the big sister type to a guy named Ronan, who is a klutz, we'll call it. A completely worthless type. Like, he's the kind... He'll be like, oh, here's your stuff, and then immediately trip on absolutely nothing and face plant spilling it all over the fucking place, and then need to go out and go reobtain that same stuff. That's the kind of guy he is. Completely useless, completely immature, just a sack of pointlessness that makes me sad.
Sounds like me, a sack of pointlessness.
But you don't make me sad. You get me games. I'm happy. Anyways, one day a cat suddenly starts talking to you, and I don't mean like meow meow like all of your cats do for you people who own cats. I mean it starts talking, and Lilia understands what it's saying because it's speaking English, well, Japanese to her, but still English for those who are reading. Anyways, and then the following day she wakes up as a cat girl. Who's significantly younger, I'll also point out. She goes from probably, I would assume probably in her early 20s, to a 13 to 14-year-old cat girl, by her own estimates. And she freaks out not wanting people to see that because, what the hell, she was a normal girl the day before. And she freaks out and runs off and then runs into Ronan, except for now he's... competent and mature and in a guard uniform, and she sees an entire new side of him. And after that, it's just about how she gets along with him and how she reacts to things. It has a choose your own adventure to a slight degree in it. Usually most of your choices just affect three or four lines afterwards, and then it goes right back to the same story. However, your choices affect which side of her becomes more powerful, I guess, the cat girl or the human side. And after chapter four, well, at the start of chapter four, you make one choice, and then depending on it and all the ones beforehand, determines which set of chapters you get access to after that. For the rest of chapter four, all of chapter five, six, and the epilogue. So if you pick all the responses that are more immature something you'd expect out of a child for the most part. You increase the cat girl part of her. And after that last choice in chapter 4, it goes into only her side of the story where she's a cat girl, where she's trying to deal with things as a cat girl, using her cat girl abilities and all this other stuff. Whereas if you choose all the human ones, it does the human side instead, which was really interesting. I haven't seen a game do that before. I've seen ones where, okay, you get a good ending or a bad ending based on doing good stuff or bad stuff, but this has that in so much that you also have a romance that you can pursue with Ronan, or I assume not pursue, because there are love point options and ones that don't do anything. So I assume you can end it without getting in his pants, I guess. I didn't bother doing that because there's no achievement for that.
it's a Rattalakis, so what are the achievements?
Getting through each chapter of the game, and then confessing both as a human and a cat girl. For the most part, that's really what they are. So you will have to effectively play the game twice. Because you, again, chapters 1 through 4, you have to make choices that align with either the human side of her or the cat girl side of her in order to unlock the corresponding later chapters of that individual. And you have to do only cat girl choices for one playthrough, only human choices for another, to unlock a special discussion, I think is what it was called, which is a post-epilogue, I guess, that I hope is telling you about the next game that's going to come out in this universe, is what I'm hoping.
I'll have to put your mask back on because there's a pandemic. You should have a mask on.
But yeah, I went the cat girl route first because I was expecting there to be something very problematic about it. Namely that it's still an otome, which means it's a love story, where you play as the girl. And as stated, by her own estimates, she looks like a 13, 14-year-old girl going after this guy. I was expecting there to be problematic stuff about that, and amazingly, there wasn't. I was surprised, because the entire time he was like, no, I don't want to go to jail. You're a kid. And I was like, good, good, good. I'm glad that's your option.
Well, overall, $15 on How to Take Off Your Mask Remastered. What do you say?
I think it's worth it. It's pretty fun. It took me 6 hours to beat, something like that. So it'd probably take everyone else about 4 hours. It's pretty good. The only thing for you achievement hunters out there, the top option is not always the human option, or the love option, or the cat girl option. They switch them up, so you actually have to fucking play it and pay attention.
Oh no, paying attention during a game.
I've been trying to find a way around it.
You know, there's going to be a guide that just tells you what responses you have to pick to get the ending. You know,
they already.
Oh, there is one on Steam. That's how I knew how to get all the cat girl options and all the human options. But you still have to pay attention, because it's not like, oh, this is the bottom option. Oh, this is the top option. They were just like, this is the option you need to choose. It says this.
You can still just skip everything and look for the one that it says that you need.
Skipping everything isn't particularly useful in this game, I found out, because I tried to do that. there is a text speed option and a skip function. However, this game does its skipping a little differently than most games. Most games, you click skip and it fucking skips it. It doesn't waste any time. It's just like, there you go. There went all chapter 1. You're done with it now. Woohoo. You've seen it all. We skipped it. This game, it makes you listen to all the voice actors do their lines. So you have enough time to read it anyways, even with it skipping constantly.
Huh.
Yeah. It kind of drove me nuts, but
Usually you can go into the settings and choose whether it skips. It sounds like you had it set to only skip things you'd seen.
And oh, I had it set to skip
everything.
Yeah, it automatically, no matter how you have it skipped, it'll automatically skip anything where no one's talking. It just skips it almost instantly if you have it to max speed. However, once there's a spoken line, it actually has that person says that line. And then immediately after it skips. Hmm. Now, you can bypass that if you want to just click A constantly.
Okay.
Because that will let you do it, but you're also likely to click on an option accidentally. So yeah.
Play the game like it's meant to be played, and that won't be a problem. Exactly.
Fucking play it right, Cole. Yeah. And all you people who are doing this for achievements, you shitbags. God, just play it right. Enjoy the fucking game. What the hell's wrong with you people?
A lot. Next game to talk about is called Roombo First Blood, developed and published by Samurai Punk, released February 5th on Xbox One for $4.99. Roombo First Blood is a comedic top-down stealth action game about being a robot vacuum cleaner and fending off burglars from your home. A short experimental game and the first in the Justice Sucks series. Cole, tell us about Roombo.
So I was interested in Roombo because I really enjoyed Serial Cleaner, where you had to clean up after serial killers.
God, that game was good.
That game was good. So Roombo had my attention because there's blood and there's gore, but you're a Roomba. But without being a Roomba, because, you know, copyright. So you're Roombo, which is Roomba meets Rambo, and you have your house, and there are valuables in the house, and there are burglars breaking into the house. The burglars break in. First off, they track in mud, which is just bullshit. Come on.
Sons of bitches.
How unkind can you be? So they're tracking in mud every goddamn where, and then they're like trying to steal your shit. And that's unacceptable too. Like, you might let them steal the shit if they at least had the decency to clean off their boots, but they don't. So you find every way you can to viciously murder these motherfuckers.
Oh, I'm liking this.
And it is brilliant. So your Roombo has a couple of different modes. One is clearly to suck shit up because he's a Roombo, right? This means that you can also suck up things that may have fallen onto the floor, like, say, a butcher knife. And while you're holding that knife, you could, say, ram a burglar and stab them. And then, while they're knocked out on the floor, you could go into your hack mode and drop a ceiling fan on them.
Jesus.
And wow. Then, since they're laying there, you might have another couple of options. You could maybe electrocute them with a lamp or short out a heating unit that's on the wall, or maybe even cause the fireplace to, you know, go woof and burn things. Each burglar has their own health bar, and your goal is basically to set as many dangerous traps and attack these burglars in every way you can until you eventually get their health down. You can ram them occasionally. I couldn't figure out what the hitch with ramming them was. Sometimes it would work. Sometimes it wouldn't. I don't know if maybe I had to have a power meter that I couldn't figure out. Just wasn't working or whatever. But I couldn't always ram them, but I could always make them chase me around like a motherfucker. I know that it's like you're supposed to be stealthy and plan these traps, but I just went whole hog at it and was like stabbing them and making them chase me around and activating traps as I got close to them just to see what would happen. Like, I'd run them past the refrigerator and I'd open the refrigerator doors and then they would get frozen in place. And then I'd be like, well, now's a good time to stab them with the butcher knife that was just conveniently laying on the kitchen floor. And oh no, they're coming for me again. Let's have the coffee pot explode. It's just, if there is any type of dangerous circumstance, use it to your advantage and have fun doing it. Now, here's where it gets really good. Eventually, you're going to kill these motherfuckers, right?
Okay.
So what do you do to clean up the house when there are dead burglars everywhere?
You just literally suck up the dead bodies in the
you
back.
Ram the bodies until they burst apart into hunks of meat, and then you vacuum up the hunks of meat and the blood.
Okay, you've sold me. I'm buying this right now.
I fucking love it so much. Now, I do have to say, the game was originally meant to be played with tank controls. Fuck that. That's gross. Nobody likes tank controls. I don't care if you tell me you like tank controls. I'm calling you a liar right now. Nobody likes tank controls. Thankfully, in one of the patches, I don't know if it was like patched when it was on PC or whatever it was on first, and then the patch just came to Xbox, or if they were just like, oh shit, we forgot that patch in Xbox. Either way, in version 1.3 of the game on Xbox, they added in free movement, and I definitely recommend that is the best way to play. Yes, Adam, you are a liar. Nobody likes tank controls. That's a hill I will die on. especially when you're a vacuum. What the fuck? But yeah, just free movement just saves the world with this game, because if I had loaded it and it was tank controls, I would have been like, what did I get myself into? And then I would have sat and cried in the corner that I had to review it like that. Because every other concept about it is so good. It's so ridiculous and it's so over the top. Once you knock out all of the burglars, you have a set amount of time for each level to clean up the mess that you've made. And then you get a bonus at the end of the level for your cleaning percentage and your trap accuracy percentage and things like that. The achievements are fucking hard. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I played the whole game and was like, I will murder the fuck out of me some burglars. I will chop them up into little meat chunks and I will suck them up into the Roomba like my life depends on it. But I do not give a fuck about getting the achievements because they are tough. But other than that, I had a blast with it. I love it. I love these quirky concept games that just seem so out in left field. And it, like, that is what I look for when I look for an indie game. I want an indie game that's just going to do something weird, and Roomba does it.
Well, then $5 on it, what do you say?
Can't believe it's only $5. I guess it's because there's not a whole lot of levels. I think there might be 10. I don't remember exactly. I just know I was murdering things.
Yeah, we've covered with Hitman that you're not good at stealth. You like murdering.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Like, I think my first achievement was the one for running away from burglars for 30 seconds straight. Because I didn't try to be stealthy. I was just zooming past them. but yeah, for $5, I can't. It's wonderful. I hope everybody buys it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. One final game to talk about tonight is called Glittering Sword, developed by Huge Pixel, published by Chili Dog Interactive. Released February 5th on Xbox One and Switch for $4.99. The more you play Glittering Sword, the harder it gets, with traps being more and more deadly and the enemies become tougher. We hope the players who are addicted to adventure games will fall in love with this small but very entertaining game. Cole, tell us about Glittering Sword.
It is a small, simple concept for an adventure game. You literally just have a little dude, with a little sword, and you press A to hit. I wish there was controller binding options, because I just want to fucking use the X button to hit things. A is jump, even when I can't jump. A is jump. but you use A to hit. I don't even remember what. Oh, X teleports. So it was kind of like your jump. So the buttons were backward for me, and I wanted to like scream and throw my controller, which I did not do because that bitch was expensive. But you have a variety of different levels. You literally just want to get from point A to point B, solving some puzzles along the way. Maybe as simple as like hitting a switch and opening a gate, or not getting impaled by arrows if you step on a booby trap. I do have one complaint, and I feel like it's the teleport option in the game is horribly underused. You can teleport and like dash around, but if you teleport past a booby trap, it still sets it off.
Ew. And
that's bullshit. Like, there were a couple of levels where I was like, oh, I definitely know how to do this. And then I teleport past the booby trap and then not be able to get back out because the booby trap set off anyway. And it took me a couple of tries. And then by the point that I figured out, I was so mad about it that I went on without getting the treasure chest in a couple of levels. I'd go on to the next level. And then I'd sit there and I'd be like, fuck, I figured it out now. And then I was so mad about it, I didn't want to go back and do it. It is fairly simple in concept. It's simple in gameplay. Even with the bosses, there's not anything that really just makes you go, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's like, no, get close, press A. I don't like that the long range weapon, you have an ability to shoot a blue magic orb. I don't like that is tied to potion use. Especially because the game has an achievement for beating it without buying any potions. So you're essentially, like, occasionally you might find a blue potion lying around. You're a little more likely to find the red ones, which are for health. But even then, the health potions kind of don't fucking matter. Because most things kill you one hit anyway. Especially the traps. Fuck the traps, as you can tell. But, Carnage says there's got to be a cheat code. I hope, because I got annoyed. I don't think it's bad. Let me point that out. I think that a little bit of polish and some quality of life stuff could make this a lot better of a game. And that's
what could they do to improve it?
Not set off the traps when you fucking teleport over them. That's for starters. And I wish that even if it were slow or tied to other enemy defeating tasks or whatever, some other task that would fill up the ability to use your ranged weapon. Because having it tied to a potion and then being like, oh, but you can't actually buy that if you want the completion. That's kind of a bitch move. There needs to be something you could do to fill it some other way. Because with the bosses not being able to hit them from a distance when there's a huge bunch of ads surrounding them is a bitch. It's not even that it's impossible. It's just that it adds to the time to kill beyond what it should be. Otherwise, it's fairly reasonable. But don't prolong it by just being like, well, you didn't buy any potions and you don't have any juice, so you can't actually, I guess it's mana power, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
It's blue magic. So, you know, you don't have any mana, so you can't actually hit them from a distance. Sucks to be you. And it's like, that's a quality of life thing. You could probably improve on it. There are difficulties, and it's literally, like, it starts on normal. It has easier, easiest, and casual.
Okay.
But even on casual, like, it still just doesn't fill up any. If you're going to make it an easy difficulty that's that easy, make it have some merit for being easy and at least let me, like, be able to shoot shit, you know? But there's also a one-hit mode, which I laughed at because the game is basically one-hit mode no matter what anyway. I was like, okay, I don't know what the point of having a health bar is here. But yeah, it's all just quality of life stuff that could just be smoothed out to make it a little better. And otherwise, it'd be perfectly fine.
As it stands for $5, what do you say?
$5 game. This is one of those where it's like, fuck it, why not, right? Because like, it's not bad. It's fine. It just could be better.
No.
So it's a fuck it, why not? It's a $5 game.
So,
yeah, fuck it. It's fine.
See, Aki, this is what the fuck it, why not is for.
Any game I want to use it for is what it's for. Thank you very much.
Nope. We have rules.
I disagree.
We have rules.
I don't like them.
Well, I don't like the rules.
We live in a society.
This is my house, and it's under my rules. You follow what I say on this goddamn show. I will turn this car around. We are going back home. 8 years, fuck it. We're going back to the beginning.
Oh, God.
We're going.
At least then the episodes will be shorter.